Hands up. Who is satisfied with our polarized and frequently deadlocked state and federal legislative bodies? My next guest believes a big reason we're dealing with this problem with Congress and state legislatures in this country is our primary system. And he wonders, how would things change if instead of what we have now, we move to a top two primary, one primary in which only the top two candidates, irrespective of party, move on to the general election? Paul de l'Espinasse is a professor emeritus of political science at Adrian College. He now lives in Oregon. Professor, you see two big problems with our current primary system?
Right. Well, there's two main problems, I think.
So start with the first one.
The extreme conservatives are more likely to turn out in the Republican primaries and the extreme liberals in the Democratic primaries because they tend to vote more often in the primaries. And we end up in the general elections as kind of a polarized choice, and then this leads to polarization in the legislative bodies and in Congress. Either that or the candidates do flip-flops in order to move towards the middle after the primaries, and then they get accused of being unprincipled.
And in the general elections, then, you've got the more moderate voters who turn out, but their choices are between
the people that were nominated in the primaries, who are often rather extreme choices.
And then what do you see as the second major problem?
In primary elections, people are voting a lot of candidates that people don't know very much about. Most of what they know about them has to come through the media, which, first of all, may be biased, and second of all, media campaigning is expensive. So it sort of magnifies the importance of money in order to get any attention at all in the primary elections.
Well, Oregon voters are going to speak their minds this November on something called Measure 90. Explain that to us.
Okay, Measure 90 would set up a single primary rather than having separate primaries for the two main parties. And the top two candidates in the primary election would then be on the ballot in the general election. In some cases, it might mean two Republicans would be on the ballot in the general election, and sometimes it would be two Democrats in districts that were very heavily weighted one way or the other.
How would having a single primary improve the candidate pool, if you will, for the general election?
Well, the extremists would tend to cancel each other out in the primaries because everybody would be voting in the same primary. And secondly, there's a lot of districts in the Congress that have been gerrymandered so that, you know, they're safe for one party or the other. And so the real choice is being made in the primary. For example, when Senator Lugar down in Indiana got defeated in the primary by, I think, a Tea Party person. Of course, that fellow lost in the general election. But if you had a situation where the top two were both from the same party, one of them might be more extreme than the other, and the one that was less extreme, who would be able to get votes from the other party in the general election, would be more likely to win. It should reinforce the importance of the moderates.
Right. So that second candidate who might not have appealed so much to the more extreme voters who showed up for the primary might look mighty good to the moderate voters who come out in November.
Right. The claimed problems with the top two primary is that a Democratic voter might have to choose between two Republicans in the general election, or a Republican voter might have to choose between two Democrats. But the alternative might be having a major party dominating that area so that you're really having a major party person facing off against nobody, which would be even worse. Yeah.
There you go. Now, it's still doesn't really address that second problem, does it? The voter's lack of knowledge.
Right. And that's why in a recent op-ed column that I wrote, appeared both in Michigan and in Oregon, I proposed that we should get rid of primaries completely and let the parties decide how to pick their own candidates, possibly party leaders, possibly caucuses, possibly conventions. But they would be picking among people that they know personally and not just on the basis of the image mongering that goes on in a media campaign. Of course, the party leaders would be anticipating who might appeal in the general election, and so there would be a tendency to nominate more moderate candidates if we got rid of the primaries completely. But I don't think that's in the political cards at the moment.
Well, as you said in your editorial, that do you think any proposal to eliminate primaries would be labeled undemocratic?
Right. And that's got a fairly superficial understanding of democracy, I think. But I think that would prevent it from getting anywhere in the short run. And that's why I'm supporting Measure 90 here in Oregon, because it solves at least one of the two problems.
How likely is it, Professor, do you think Measure 90 will be approved?
the polling isn't looking good. And a similar measure was on the ballot in 2008 and was rejected 2-1. All the major parties and a lot of the minor parties have come out against it. But I noticed that both Governor Kitzhaber, who is a Democrat, and Dennis Richardson, the current Republican candidate for governor, have come out in favor.
There was a lot of conversation at the national level, certainly, and I'm sure, especially within the Republican Party, about this need to, I guess if we would say, I don't want to say protect the old guard, but this need for the moderate voices to be heard as as the extreme right makes a lot of noise.
It's interesting that Senator Schumer from New York had an op-ed in the New York Times in which he came out in favor of top two primaries. And he pointed out in this article that one reason the Senate is more moderate in its makeup than the House is that the Senate isn't gerrymandered. The election of senators in each state is at large, as it were, the entire state, whereas places that elect members to the U.S. House have been basically gerrymandered to protect people from one party or another. You can't change the election boundaries for senators like you can for members of the House.
What kind of conversation do you hope, Professor, that this Measure 90 might provoke around the nation, right here in Michigan, let's say?
I'd like to think that it would get people thinking about things that can be done that are politically possible at the moment to minimize the influence of extremists on one wing or the other and to increase the influence of moderates. But I don't know how that would work.
As in how likely parties and voters are to sign on to something pretty radically different.
Right. Another major criticism of top two primaries is that it would hurt the third parties because they wouldn't usually be appearing on the general election ballot. However, third parties would still have full opportunity to participate in the primary elections. And since the main function of third parties is to develop new ideas that if they catch on and they get stolen, as it were, by the major part, one of the major parties, they could still do that in the primary elections. The other possible function of a third party is to be ready to take over if one of the two major parties takes a real hit and starts to disappear, the way the Labour Party, for example, in England in the 1920s, replaced the Liberal Party as the second main party in England.
Interesting food for thought. Professor Paul de l'Espinasse, whose editorial is entitled Two Cheers for the Top Two Primary. Professor, thank you so much for talking with us. Professor de l'Espinasse joined us from his home in Oregon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.